About 5 or 6 weeks ago, John Simon, who's our brilliant percussionist and drummer in our contemporary worship venue, his father died, and they're having the funeral in Denton, and I decided I'd go. It was on a Friday morning, and I didn't tell anybody I was going to go, and I just drove up to Denton, showed up, and I walked in the back of the sanctuary, and I saw John, I saw his family, and he was excited, you know, I was coming. He said, "Oh, let me introduce you to my pastor," and church of a different kind of tradition. I went over and introduced myself to the pastor, and he just got quiet. He just said, "Oh, you're a pastor?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "Oh, we're so glad that you're here. We'll need to put you in the service to speak." And I thought, no. I'm just here to be here for John. He said, no, you must. And I said, "Well, you know, how does this work?" He said, "Well, there'll be a processional, and you can process with us." And sure enough, someone went and got a big chair, like one of these chairs, and put it up on the top where the stage was, overlooking, and they inserted my chair in with all the other pastors. And I thought, this is odd. I don't even know, you know, where I am. I didn't know the name of the pastor 5 minutes ago. Wasn't close to the deceased, just the son of the deceased. And they said, no, you got to be part of this. And I was walking in, and right when we were walking in the processional, somebody said, "Where is Pastor Robinson?" And they said, "Oh, Pastor Robinson is stuck in traffic." And they said, and then the senior pastor said, "Well, what was Pastor Robinson supposed to do?" "Well, he's supposed to do the New Testament lesson." And he said, "That's okay. Reverend Rasmussen can handle the New Testament lesson." And I'm in the back, and we're about to walk in for this processional, and I said, What is the New Testament lesson?" He said, "It's okay, you just pick one. Whatever's on your heart, you just pick one." And my heart is racing now. And we walk in, and I reach in the pew backs of one, and I grab a Bible, and I'm like flipping through the New Testament while we're walking down. And it's like somebody asking you your favorite song, and you can't remember one. I think, what am I gonna talk about? And sure enough, we process in, and I sit up front with all the other ministers, and I'm looking out, and then it comes time for the New Testament lesson, and the guy that had done the Old Testament lesson preached for about 15 minutes. And I thought, maybe I got to do the same. And so I started in the New Testament lesson, tried to keep it as short as possible, and I sat down. I was nervous. And Carla Nivens, who's also on our music team, was up on the stage with us. And I looked at her. I said, "What is this all about?" She says, "Well, they want to honor you." And I said, "It's not even my funeral. Why do they want?" She said, "They don't really want to honor you. They want to honor your position. At this church, they think a little bit different about the position of pastor." And I got to thinking, they didn't even know me. What they were honoring was my position. And that's a little different. When you open the pages of Scripture, God often calls us to honor certain things, right? Parents, elders, certain institutions, certain customs. And in Romans chapter 12, it says this: "Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." And on Mother's Day, I started looking into that word honor, and it's a derivative of the Greek word time. It's spelled like time, but it's really pronounced time. And what it means is to value or to respect, or to highly, highly esteem, to treat as extra special, as precious, or to give weight or additional value to. In other words, honor builds up. Honor believes the best. And honor values. My problem with honor sometimes is that when it comes to honor, I usually treat honor this way. I give honor to those I think deserve honor. We tend to do that, don't we, in society? We confuse an honor with the verb to honor. And an honor is usually given for someone who has accomplished something. We've kind of messed up the world, and we've made honor to be performance-based. You know, if you're not as smart as I am, then I'm not going to honor you. If you're not as privileged as I am, I'm not going to honor you. If you're not as talented as I am, I'm not going to honor you. I make almost every dispensation of honor in my life about some kind of performance. And sometimes I think if we're honest, we honor people to gain something from them or to gain their approval. Think back to when you were dating. how you acted with your loved one, right? You honor them. You opened every door for them. And some of you may still do that, and that's wonderful. But at the time, we go overboard trying to honor, and we're very, very careful not to be critical in those seasons of life. Why? Because we want something from them. We want their approval. But biblical honor has a much different and broader context. Biblical honor is less about a person than it is about their esteemed position. That's the context biblically in which we give honor, because we believe that people have a certain esteemed rank in society, or even more important, they have a certain esteemed rank in the kingdom of God. And what better way to put this biblical concept into practice than on Mother's Day? Because Mother's Day is not just about being nice to mom. It's not just about being nice to your mom. Mother's Day has a much grander, broader context. It's not about your mom. Mother's Day is about your mom's position. And it is a recognition that moms have a certain rank in community, a certain rank in the kingdom of God. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your mother and your father. It's one of the big 10. It's one of the top 10 rules of God, to honor your mother. And it's not just about the way your mom is acting or has acted or used to act. It's about moms having a certain standing and an esteemed rank in the kingdom of God. And sure, there are areas where we feel like we're smarter than our moms. There's areas where we feel like they have embarrassed us and they may not deserve our honor. I remember one time at a middle school dance, right in the middle of the dance, I was trying to bust a move out on the dance floor, getting after it. We had a DJ up on the stage, and all of a sudden, between songs, the DJ stopped, got on that microphone, and said, "Is there a Paul Rasmussen in the building? Your mother is here to pick you up." And my mother had gone to the DJ and said, "I'm here to pick up my son." I was devastated, right? Your mom is here to pick you. I'm still in therapy over that one instance of middle school anxiety. You can all list for hours your frustrations with moms. We don't honor your mom. We honor your mom's position. And that position is esteemed. And God sent his only begotten son, sacrificed for moms. Your mom isn't just some woman. Your mother is the woman that God ordained and sanctioned to bring you into the world. And I don't know how she's held in your eyes, but I can tell you, in God's eyes, she's important. Mother's Day isn't about our claim on our mom's life. It's about God's claim on their life. It's about how God sees them. This incredible, special, unique, grace-based perspective of God, that God can see in all of us not only our depravity, but our dignity at the very same time. That God looks into all of our lives, he sees all of our mistakes, and yet at the same time still sees what all of us can become. And thank goodness we don't serve a God who just sees who we are. We praise and we serve a God who sees what we can become. Some of you know this from parenthood, and we love our children, and we want what's best for them, and we root for them, and sometimes we don't get what we want out of them, and we don't like what they're doing. When I was new to parenting, you know, it was all about pointing out everything wrong that my children did. And the older I've become, I recognize that they need more talk about who they can be than what they're doing wrong. There's a Protestant doctrine, you learn about this in seminary, called the doctrine of glorification. It's a little bit nuanced if you're a Methodist, but you can read about this in Romans 8 if you so desire. The doctrine of glorification says this, is that one day all of us, you, me, everybody, will stand before God and we will be made perfect. And Wesley believed that would happen sooner than later. But we would stand before God, be made perfect, and God would choose to see the way that we are now But he would treat us now for the way that we could become later. That God doesn't treat us now the way we are. He treats us on how ultimately we will become in Christ. In other words, God doesn't just see the mistakes that you've made. He sees what we can be. And he sent his only begotten Son to remind us of that. Apostle Paul talks about this when he says, Christ died while we were yet sinners. Biblical honoring is about seeing people not the way we see them, the way God sees them. A couple of observations about honor on this Mother's Day. Honor is not just for the recipient of those to whom we give honor. Did you know that? Honor is not just about the recipient. There's an effect on us. There's an effect on the giving end. And how you honor often determines how much you're able to receive. Ephesians 6, verse 2, quoting the same passage we just read from Exodus about the Ten Commandments, about honoring your mother and father. But Paul here, writing to Ephesus, expands it. He says, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Isn't that fascinating? When it comes to honoring your mother, there's a promise attached to that. There's something in it, not just for her, but for you. Honor your mother so that it may go well with you. There's a benefit for you. It's a beautiful story about Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, and he's returning to his hometown. And when he goes back to his hometown, the people that ought to honor him the most end up honoring him the least. And what happens is a year prior, he had been run out of town, and they had threatened to kill him, and he'd gone off on what we kind of call a teaching tour, and he'd gone off for about a year, and he had done all these miracles and all this healing. He had raised someone from the dead, and now he's headed back into his hometown. And you would think they would honor him, but here's what happens in Mark 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And so Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. The people who should honor Christ the most honor him the least. And now he is without honor. That Greek word, atimos, means to dishonor or to treat as common or as ordinary. The people in his own hometown are treating him as common and as ordinary. They've taken Christ for granted. Now look at what the spirit of dishonor does to Jesus. And I don't always understand this when I read it, but it is fascinating to me. They have dishonored Jesus in the very next line in the scripture so that Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Now, I don't always understand that. I don't always know the quid pro quo formula. But I know that when Jesus is dishonored, the scripture doesn't say he would not do miracles. It says he could not do miracles. And we don't want to think that somehow Jesus was restricted. But according to Mark, when he was dishonored, he suddenly was unable to do the very same miracles for the people that should have loved him the most. Jesus points out that a prophet without honor is usually happens in their own hometown. They're taken for granted. And I tell you, I see this with moms all the time. Mothers treated ordinary in their own family. Sometimes the way we choose to honor people opens what in return we're able to receive. Sometimes I can't honor them because they're not honorable. Look, respect is earned, but honor is freely given. Honor is something we decide to give. And I think Mother's Day is a terrific day to rethink and to reclaim this important biblical principle. And I know it seems a little bit old-fashioned, but I think it's critical, and I think we live in a society now that doesn't give a lot of value to honor. In fact, it's become more popular to dishonor things, and with social media and the way we go at one another, we're almost now more famous in the way that we dishonor certain things. But biblically, it's different. It's not about performance. It's about the esteemed rank and claim on God and claim on people that God has for them. I think there are probably a couple, three ways that we can honor not only mothers, but the people in our life that we think we need to honor. Honor is an action verb. You got to take initiative. You can't just think about it. There's a couple things. I think we honor people when we prioritize them. When we prioritize people, we honor them. And Mother's Day is about prioritizing our moms. And we live in a culture that wants to diminish honor. And I think, frankly, honor needs to come back, and it needs to come back aggressively. We need to prioritize the things that are important in our lives. The other night, I went out to Dallas Baptist University. I'd never been there before. I felt like I wasn't even in Dallas. There's rolling hills. It was green. I went to see a young man play baseball. He's the son of one of our church members. He's a pitcher. And I went out to just sit and watch a baseball game. And I saw the most incredible thing. Game started about 6:30. And at 7 o'clock, I didn't realize until after the fact at 7 o'clock what was going on. But they're in the middle of the game. And a guy throws a strike. And the kid takes one strike down, the catcher throws the ball back to the pitcher in the middle of the game. There's not an out. And all of a sudden, everybody stops, and they turn around, and they face the outfield fence, and they take their hats off, and they put it over their heart. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And then I could hear it. Just on the other side of the outfield fence is the Dallas National Cemetery. And at 7 p.m. every night, they play taps. And at DBU, it doesn't matter what's going on in the game, they stop it. And everybody stands at attention and says, we're going to honor the 62,000 men and women who've supported our armed services and who are buried in that cemetery just over our outfield fence. And I was overwhelmed with emotion. And I thought, this is what honor is all about. We honor people when we prioritize people. You go to the grocery store and you see the sign that says you can't park here unless you're an expectant mother. And come on, how many times have you turned into that parking spot only to read that sign and then you get mad? Ah, how could we possibly? We prioritize those who we choose to honor. Can you imagine if we all decided to live our lives this way? You go first. No, you go first. No, really, you go first. You go first. You go first. Right? That's applicable in every environment in life except for when you leave the service today and you're in the parking lot, right? Then you just got to just go, right? Don't leave out of here. You go first. You go first. You're going to be a big bottleneck. But other than that, can you imagine if we lived our life in this way? Solomon talks about this in Proverbs. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Now look, this isn't just a money principle. This is an everything principle. We're going to prioritize God. And you've done that this morning with your time. You say, I'm going to prioritize God and the worship of God for an hour a week on Sunday morning. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm going to show up, and I'm going to give God honor. And God says, well, you can do that with people too. When you recognize not just their individual personal life, but the claim on their life that I have for them. The second thing we do is we praise them. We prioritize people and we honor them. And then we prioritize people when we praise them. And praise is very important because honor has a language. And it's not just language when they're around. You ever talking to people and, oh, you're so beautiful and oh, you're so sweet and I can't, it's so good to see you. And then they leave and you go, whoa, did you see that dress? Right? And we say, honor involves a language that is constant. James says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Language is really important. When we praise people with our language, we honor them. Not because they've done something for us, but because they're made in the image of God. The other day, I was right out here on Central Expressway, and somebody cut me off. It happens all the time. I've probably done it myself many times. Somebody cut me off, and I was kind of in a bad mood. I was like, "You jerk. Oh, you jerk." And then it was like the Holy Spirit hit me. It was like God said, "Paul, that's my jerk." And I think this is what James was talking about. Our words are so important, not based on what people do, but on the claim that God has upon their life. Ephesians 4, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." We honor people when we praise them. And the last thing is this. I think we honor people when we protect them. We protect the things that we honor, right? You have anything of value? That's what honor means, to assign value to. We tend to protect those things. I have dozens of basketballs at my house. They're all over. They're on the floor. They're outside. We leave some of them outside. They're all just common basketball. But I got one of them in a glass case. And the reason it's in a glass case, because it's been signed by a very prominent college basketball coach, and it wishes me luck in ministry, and it's got a little blessing on it, and then he wrote his name on there. It has value to me. So I've taken it, and I put it in a case. And I lifted it up, and I put it on a mantle, and it's protected. And that's what we tend to do with people that we value. We protect them. We protect their role. We protect their duty. We protect their honor. In the Old Testament, Noah one time planted a vineyard, and then he took the fruits of the vineyard, and he got all liquored up, and he got drunk, and he got naked. He's just wandering around, and he's embarrassing himself, and he passes out. He's got three kids, and one of the kids is just laughing at him. "You ought to see Dad." What a loser. But his other two sons, they do something different. They go get a blanket. And they walk in backward, not to see their old man naked. And they stand over him and they give him the blanket. And they say, "You know what? We're going to protect you." We're not denying what's going on here, but they understand that Noah was a good man who had simply done a bad thing, but that it was their duty to stand with him in his time of need. And they honored him by protecting him. We prioritize things we honor. We praise the people that we honor, and we protect them, and we do our best. So on this Mother's Day, I want to encourage you to honor your moms. Maybe it's not just your moms. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's a principal. Maybe it's a law enforcement officer. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's someone in the military. But on this special day, pick up your phone and call your mama. If you're still able, you're still privileged enough to have your mom around, you pick up the phone and you call her and say, "Mom, I just want to honor you. I just want to tell you that I love you." I'm telling you, when we learn to honor people, it humbles us. It makes us teachable. It makes us more grateful. It breaks down a sense of entitlement. There's an incredible run of benefits when we learn to bring back in this noble virtue that so many in the world want to make us extinct. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of motherhood. You chose that as the way that we're all brought into this world. And sometimes, Lord, we want to limit honor to those who we think deserve it. But would you remind us that you hold moms with an esteemed rank. And you see them not as they are, but as they can be. So help us, Lord, to leverage the blessing of this day to reclaim the virtue of biblical honor and to pass it out to those who are made in your image. In your Son's holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.